Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for your indulgence. Members, we're now back in part one. Mr. Ellis, do you have comments you'd like to make? Members, do you have any further contribution you'd like to make? We have completed this in part one previously. We have moved into part two and had discussion and debate. We're now going to go to the vote, and the recommendations are before you. And the recommendations are 2.1, 2.2, 2.3, 2.4, on pages 1 and 2.
This is the item for Lambeth Station Road, Ashwell. So,
I wonder, could you bring the microphone first to you?
Yes, certainly I do. I'm just trying to get to grips with the cursor on the screen. Yeah. Or just the cursor. It's on the periphery of the Ashwell. As you come out to Ashwell Bridge, you're heading towards Ashwell Station. This is the area of land just here by the site. The last houses are just here. They're much of a vineyard development along this part of Station Road, and you've got the sports facilities off Small Bears Lane here, where I'm popping the cursor. This is a view into the site from an access gateway onto the farmland. You'll note that there's boundary hedging. There's boundary hedging on one side and there's a hedge on the other side. It's another photograph taken looking towards the village, approximately from where the speed limits are, and on the plans that they're due to be moved to accommodate the access. View going in opposite direction towards Ashville Station. Another view into the site with this area of hedging along the boundary of the small gaze lane. This is the site layout plan. 46 houses on the front of the site with access off Station Road, and then you've got the sports facilities that are being provided, an adult sports pitch, a junior sports pitch, sports pavilion and parking spaces to the rear of the site. This is an artist's impression of the front elevation on Station Road. Shows the mix of housing and a more manicured version of the existing boundary hedging. This is from the sections across the site which show a variety of the street scenes and housing layout types. And that concludes my presentation.
Thank you. We have a registered speaker, Mr. Richard Young.
What I'm going to do is I'm not going to talk about the many, many reasons for refusal, which are highlighted by the officer. I'm just going to concentrate on a couple of key areas during my limited time. So, to me, there are two main reasons for refusal. One, the impact on the village, and two, the location within the village, or actually outside of the village. As you probably know, Ashwell is a historic village with over 1,000 years of history. The visual approach will have a significantly urbanising view on the village, not only from the view that has been presented here from Station Road, but also from the slip end access, which is significantly higher, and you look down onto this. So it would have a very sort of changed view of the village as you approach from the south. In terms of the impact on the village amenities, we're already in a position that the school, the primary school, has no capacity. With houses being bought in the village already, there have been several that have fallen through on the basis that there are no places left in the village school. Clearly with 46 houses, that would put a significant demand on the local amenities. And one of the sort of consequences of that is the traffic that this will cause both in the village and out of the village, which I'll come on later to talk about some of the real issues that that presents. In terms of the location of this, this site, as has been pointed out, it is right on the very edge of the village. In fact, the furthest away from the centre of any of the components of the village. It is on the absolute limit of where anybody would walk. It is almost certain that the majority of people, if they were travelling to the village, will use their cars. There is no parking space in the middle of the village. The village is already highly congested, particularly at the weekends, and it is quite a dangerous area given the amount of traffic. Anybody working, anybody living here would need to commute. There is no jobs in the village that would provide anything for the people. So, a particular note is that emphasis on traffic. So I've already talked about the school and the need to commute. As you travel down Station Road, There is a very dangerous junction at the bottom with Lucas Lane, where there have been, within recent times, significant accidents, including one fatality. And this is just going to add to the traffic down the road. If you go out the other way towards the station, the A505 junction is again an extremely dangerous junction where there have been many accidents. So you're just going to be compounding the problem the traffic and the danger if this is accepted. So just to point out one or two other sort of fairly obvious things which I highlighted in the report. This is outside the boundary of the village. It is not included for planning in any of the village local plans. So it's just an opportunity for the landowner to make a fast buck. That is what this is about. There is no support for this in the village at all. So in summary, the village cannot cope with the additional houses. We already have significant developments going on within the village, which making our allocation. The location will urbanise a beautiful village and result in a significant addition to traffic through dangerous junctions. I therefore request that you refuse this planning application. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Members, do you have any questions or clarifications to Young's presentation? No? Thank you, Mr. Young.
Thank you.
Now I'd like to invite Mr. Stuart Booth, who's the applicant's agent. Good evening, sir. Welcome.
Thank you, my name is Stuart Booth from JPPC. As I'm representing the applicant, I trust councillors have seen my letter. There has been a significant lack of feedback from officers to allow us to address the matters raised, and these have therefore been measured in the balance of the recommendation due to refusal. These technical matters could have been dealt with through negotiation, as is normal in handling the applications. However, I'm not here to complain, to try and convince you to vote in favour of the proposals on the basis that potential impacts do not significantly and demonstrably outweigh the many merits and sustainable credentials of the proposal in accordance with the MPPF. The site before you is already well screened from the countryside beyond it, lies immediately adjacent to existing houses in the village of Ashfield. It also has existing direct access on the station road, which is the main road through the village and provides access to many houses, caravan club, petrol station and shop. Immediately adjacent to the site of allotments, tennis club, Ashfield Academic and the cycling club. There's a direct well-lit footpath to the rest of the village in the centre, existing lamppost, traffic common on the frontage, and the actual sign marking the entrance to Ashwell. There's access to the station, which is also a bus route. In fact, the Highways Authority recognises this site as a sustainable location in terms of alternative modes of travel, and a full support of the proposals presented in this application, which provides many improvements to the footway, to traffic common, and the bus stop as well. Ashwell, like many other villages in the district, has been identified as a location for housing in the emerging local plan, albeit currently having fewer proposed allocations than other villages. The applicant were not aware of the application site until the local plan was drafted, and so the opportunity to consider this site in particular was unfortunately missed. However, the district does not currently have sufficient land and permission to meet the immediate housing need and shortfall. So you need to be balancing the potential negatives from redevelopment against the sustainable credentials of the scheme presented. As mentioned, we've not been given an opportunity to address the minor technical objections. They're confident these can be dealt with suitably, and so should not factor into the balance of the decision. Potential negatives developed on this site relate to landscape impact on a site that's not specifically protected in landscape terms, and is already well screened by landscape woodland, and will relate to houses and those recreational uses. The district is proposing a large number of new greenfield sites for development in the local plan, many thousands of new homes, including on land using the greenbelt. Potential benefits of this single field on the edge of Ashwell in a sustainable location should be considered in this context. It is a full application by a house builder that proposes a mix of house types accepted by the council of offices to meet affordable need, provides 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 bedroom properties, has a bespoke nature reflecting the existing character, and houses for young families and smaller homes for older people looking to downsize, which is an identified local need. In addition to this, it meets the direct need for additional sports provisions by Ashford Academic Club specifically, who currently have Western Games outside the district, and also for the other existing recreation users who will be able to use the sports pavilion providing toilet facilities and the changing rooms that have been requested. We acknowledge the Parish Council's objection to this proposal. They've also objected to the clever style of Ashford as part of the local plan. The Parish Council's position is that no further development should be provided in Ashford. However, this committee must recognise that it has a duty to make decisions to provide new houses and develop land currently undeveloped. As a result of the incredible levels of housing need that you need to plan for, Ashford is one of the best served villages in the district in terms of services and facilities and must surely take its share in this development. The local plan has an allowance within it for windfall sites such as this to come forward. The number of new houses for permission at the moment does not provide for even the next 2 years of need. And a falling house building rate will occur if, in the short term, its sufficient sites are not granted permission. This development provides significant social, economic and environmental benefits with a limited impact that in itself is mitigated by good design and landscape management of woodland, the new sports pitches and facilities, and the management boundaries inside. Many housing sites will be presented to this committee in the coming years with a recommendation for approval and will be wisely because they are in the currently drafted plan. However, these will likely have more negatives associated with them and will certainly have less benefits than the scheme presented to you here. The other thing I want to mention as well is the kind of significant lack of public protection actually to the proposal. We engaged with residents in local consultation and the application has received very few letters of objection. We believe currently less than 20. We welcome the discussion on the proposal presented to you in the application. Your questions consider the benefits of approving the application to meet that need with limited potential concerns. It's a well thought out proposal informed by local consultation, providing for local and district wide need.
Thank you, sir. Members, do you have any questions for clarification of Mr. Booth's presentation? No? Thank you, Mr. Booth. Would you like to sum up, please?
I just like to draw one minor point. When it comes to windfall sites, they would have to be policy compliant anyway, and this wouldn't, because it was still in the new emerging plan, within our country travel area policy, CGB1.
Thank you. Councillors? Councillor Clark?
Councillor Paul Clark, the actual point I want to make is in relation to 3.7, our friends at Hertfordshire Highways. While I accept Mr. Young's points about the traffic dangers, it is a shame they are not supported and given reasons for refusal by the County Council Highway Authority. And yet again, I find that disappointing to say the least.
Thank you. Councillor Hunter.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, actually, I was going to bring that up as well. Obviously, I know this location well. I know all about the fatality at Station Road. When I was a county councillor, I actually put in a mitigation that's there now to try and avoid any future accidents. Yeah. As far as the 505 junction is concerned, it's been a campaign of mine for some considerable time to try and get a safe junction. But the actual note in the actual report on highways doesn't really make a great deal of sense. I read it a number of times and thought this is 4.329. There's no objections from the highway authority, although they have expressed their concerns regarding the suitability of parking on the site in proximity to some of the dwellings and the limits of the highway abduction. Highway Authority would accept, given that the submitted road like that may not be of an acceptable standard. So, effectively, they're saying they're putting something in there that wouldn't be accepted anyway if it was being put in front of them, is the way I read it. I can understand that I am of opinion in the proposal, and of course, I'm sustained by the way I rejected evidence, but you would have thought that highways would have said, even if we were of a mind to, if the officer was of a mind to recommend that we grant, that the actual layout's wrong and doesn't meet their criteria. I'll go on to say, Chairman, while I've got the opportunity, I think our officer has actually highlighted just about everything I hate about this type of piecemeal development, and has managed to pull out just about every objection out of the MPPF, the emerging plan, and even some of our own policies, to actually say why we should be granted. So I think I'll take the opportunity, Chairman, of actually proposing the recommendation of the officer while I'm talking. Thank you, Father.
I have noted that, Councillor Hunter. Thank you very much. Councillor Manton.
Thank you, Councillor Manton. I am totally in support of the recommendation, because I think this is an inappropriate form of development in a village, particularly in Ashwell. It doesn't relate to the village, it's just a sort of standard, bulk standard bolt onto the side of it. If you're going to expand villages like Ashwell, it's got to be done sympathetically and bearing in mind the existing built environment. I think this just simply is a bulk standard off-the-shelf bolt-on that's plonked down at the side of a field. And frankly, the kind of thing which in our rural area we should definitely be opposing. So I'll second the proposal to support the officer's recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Nettle. So I have a proposal for the officer's recommendation to refuse, seconded by Councillor Nettle. It goes to both those in favour of refusal. That is unanimous. Thank you, Councillor. So we'll move on now to item number 8, page 139, which is to consider the former landfill site of Red Warren Road, Little Wyverley. And welcome again, Professor. Thank you for your attention. We'd like to present the report.
Sorry, could you go nearer the mic, please?
Is that better?
Yeah,
better. Fine. So I do have some updating to do on this item. First of all, we have the comments of St. Nicholas Parish Council, and I can quote those. It was agreed to object, as it is not especially in that case, to warrant St. Nicholas Parish Council to support a development on Greenberg Island. Also, the applicant has submitted a copy of a lease and options agreement with the landowner. It refers to making provision of a sinking fund and links it to the yielding up of the site and the clearance of equipment on the site. The intention of this is to overcome the second objection raised, and I feel that it does show a clear intention to make provision for the clearing of the site after the 20-year temporary permission is up. I would recommend withdrawing that second reason for refusal. Should this go to appeal, or should members be minded to grant permission, a granting condition could be used to ensure that the bond is in place before work is commenced. Further updating. With regard to the first reason for refusal, which is contrary to Greenberg policy, the applicants are sent in a table showing 167 sites that have been considered in the eastern and southern region. However, I feel that I've looked at the table and feel that it is such that it would not amount to very special circumstances to set aside Greenbelt policy, and my recommendation for refusal on Greenbelt grounds does remain. I can elaborate on why I think that should be wishing to do so. And then finally, the applicant is asking that members defer making a decision in order to allow for a further amended scheme to be considered. It has in mind reducing the number of chimneys and their heights on site. Now for the slides. This is the site in the centre here. We have down, you can see diagonally the A602 running just north and west of the site. Top left hand corner, we've got Ashbrook Lane, and the bottom left corner is the existing electricity substation. Now this is a photo montage which was sent in by the applicant, and it's a photograph taken from Ashbrook Lane, and it shows the proposal here on the horizon there with a 15 metre high chimneys. And that's the next photo montage where the applicant is showing a tree planting scheme obscuring the proposal. Of course, it would take a fair few years to amount to that. This is a photograph taken from Blakemore End Road. This is the entrance to the site. As you can see, it is quite open. To the left of the site here, we can see the existing stable buildings. This is a photograph of the site taken from East View in Centipolis. The application site is here. And this photo was taken from just outside Great Wyndley. You would not really notice the site at all from this location. This is location plan, we've already seen one of those. This is the proposed site plan. We can see there are 11 gas engines here. And they measure 170 metres long by 33.5 metres wide. We have a transforming station, which is here. And we also have a kiosk, which is here. And these are the existing stables. And over on the side is a spire to deal with surface water. And there's also down here, it's a very steep slope leading down to the fields. This is site sections. The height of the chimney is 15 metres. The height of the base building underneath 7 metres. Elevations of the gas engines. This is an elevation of the transforming station. The maximum height of the equipment there is 5.9 metres, and the fencing around the site is 2.5 metres. And that concludes my presentation. The recommendation before you is that permission be refused on rebuilt grounds.
Thank you very much. We have Mr. Avery Hawkins here from Wyndham Parish Mental Health Planning Committee. Good evening, sir. Welcome.
Chairman, good evening. Councillors, committee members, can I give you the opportunity to speak on behalf of this matter? I'm here this evening to support the officer's refusal of the planning application for this beacon power station. Unfortunately, the aerial photograph that was shown, only showed the old Blakemore current Eden House Hotel opposite. Those of you that know Wyndham, most of the housing continues immediately after the Blakemore Eden House Hotel is shown. I'm here really this evening to try and bring to your attention and hopefully have certain aspects included in the refusal. There is a growing concern amongst the public these days about air pollution, and residents of one of the, in particular, little one of them, are particularly concerned about the pollution levels that will emanate from this peaking power station. We are very much aware of the fact that North Harts District Council are very meticulous in their task of measuring the air quality at Stevenage Road, in particular at the Three More Hens AQMA site. Having had some fairly extensive dialogue with David Carr, the environmental officer responsible for air pollution in that particular area, we have established that, unfortunately, there aren't long-term measurements of PM2.5. There are measurements of PM10, and there are measurements of various other obnoxious air pollutants that come from motor vehicles in particular. PM2.5 is recognised by Public Health England at basically creating premature deaths of 29,000 people in this country. And the World Health Organization reckoned that it's responsible for 4.3 million people's deaths, premature deaths, worldwide. So obviously, one of the residents who are bordered by the A1M to the west, the A602 to the south, and the main railway line from London to Edinburgh to the north, feel that having a peaking power station to the east would be somewhat disappointing for them, given the fact that they already feel that they are suffering from air pollution. In conversation with David Carr, it's been established that DEFRA have an AQMA on the A1M, which actually covers the area of Little Wynberg. And there are two aspects that we would like you to take into account in relation to the air quality being measured by the government's own monitoring station on the A1M. The first is that PM2.5 at the Three More Hens roundabout measures around about 13. The air quality pollution aspect in London is 12.5 to 15. So in essence, you know, the Three More Hens roundabout has pollutants equivalent to the pollutants you'd expect to find in London. And believe it or not, the same situation extends to the AQMA unit that's fitted on the A1M, which covers the Wynberg. So we are very much currently being subjected to very high levels of pollution. And we believe that the installation of this peaking power station would only add to our lows in that respect. So, as far as we're concerned, there ought to be consideration of providing alternative methods of power support for the infrastructure of Hertfordshire. We're all pretty much aware now that there are long-term storage facilities in terms of batteries that wouldn't necessarily accrue pollutants or provide noise and vibration issues, which residents are concerned about also. So we recommend heartily that perhaps there is a rethink, given the fact that this particular area is right next to a substation. It would be possible to actually charge some form of battery storage facility rather than actually generate power on that site. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to recommend and support on behalf of one of the parish council that we refuse this application. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Can we just wait for one moment? Members, do you have any questions or presentation? Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Paul Clark. When you say batteries, are you referring to solar panels that will charge those batteries?
I'm referring to the fact that it's right next to the substation and the power is coming from the national grid to that substation. And if we're looking for some form of peaking power support for the infrastructure of Hertfordshire, which I guess is behind the whole concept of putting the power generation there in the first place, that power can be supported from the battery storage facility rather than the gas fired generator facility.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there any other questions? No. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Now I'd like to invite Mr. Andrew Truth, who is the Acting Attorney General, to address. Good evening, sir. Welcome.
Chairman, councillors, good evening. One correction, I'm the applicant, shareholder of the business, which is behind this proposal. I can just deal with the two points quickly that Mr. Hawkins has raised. First, on air quality, noise made PM 2.5 or 5 or 10. There are no particulates that come out of this gasoline. It's a NOx, nitrogen dioxide, and I'll come back to that with you. With the officer, I think we have got to the position. We started a pre-app back in May 2016, where I think we're agreed on the need. There is a bit of a disagreement on the alternatives, but we have looked at 166 of them. These facilities have to be next to the substation. When you get down south, inevitably you're in urban areas in the Greenbelt, because that's where the demand is and that's where the electrical interface is. And there are three or four that come out of that 166 of them this year. You have three other proposals, which are all in Greenbelt, Newcastle, Brady and Essex, and Tilbury. And that's because that's where the support is needed for the grid, unfortunately. I wouldn't be here today proposing this in Greenbelt if I had not had alternatives, I can assure you of that. I think we're agreed on the fact there's no material noise impact. We're certainly agreed on the air quality position, which is that there is no problem at all. Bearing in mind this is a peaking plant, so it's just there to support the winter months. Just on Mr. Hawkins' second point, the battery, we also developed batteries. We've actually just about to energise our first 50 megawatt battery system. Unfortunately, can't at this stage do the sort of job that you get from a peaking plant, a gas reset engine peaking plant, which provides inertia, and at Wynberney substation, we've got a particular possible support we've got to provide with voltage control, which you can't do at a battery. So there are specific reasons. I also mentioned to you that this is completely unsubsidised, so this is predicated on the need for sort of contracts with National Grid, some of which we have already. Once built, there's no traffic generated from this facility. I think it's worthy of mention that the Environment Agency actually positively think we should develop this, and I quote, ultimately we are strongly in favour of this development, remediating an unlined historic land and removing the risk it may pose to the environment. That wasn't mentioned. I think that's pretty important in the context of purposes of Greenbelt. If you can do something with good old land, particularly if it's a liability. So I think we are sat here looking at the balance between, planning balance between harm and essential need. Inevitably, I tend to agree more with the summary from the landscape officer, which I remind you is slightly less concerned about this than the planning officer. She does recognise that the chimney is an artificial element in the landscape, but she said, however, it is considered that there are relatively few roads and footpaths where the chimney will be visible, particularly from longer distances. For some views, there will be a backdrop of the nearby pylons. Providing a detailed and effective planting scheme is submitted by condition the council's landscape officer raises no objection to the proposal. My point is that I can see both sides to the story. I've been around a long time, and at the latter stages of our effort to amend this proposal, we have been able to agree with the Environment Agency a change in design, which means we can reduce it from 11 chimneys at 15 metres to 4 chimneys at 7 metres, which makes a huge difference. I'm running out of time, so my point of being here this evening is to try and persuade you to give us the opportunity to consider those plans which we sent in 10 days ago and reconsider the next plan, please.
Thank you, sir.
Members,
do you have any questions of that presentation? No? Councillor Spencer?
Can you tell members about the need for demand? I don't know about other members, but I haven't noticed a huge amount of power cuts around here. Is it projected demand or something beyond that?
It's, well, there are two aspects to it, and the primary driver for this is a change in the whole electricity delivery system, because we've got more than a quarter of our power now coming from wind and solar. So in the winter, when obviously there's no solar, if the wind's not blowing, we're getting pretty close, what they call the winter margin, to a case where we could be getting outages. Now, that's partially exaggerated, but it's all the signs are that we're going to have to provide very fast reacting heating plant. This council consented a 20 megawatt gas-fired power system in Greenbelt on Old Dock Road, Letchworth, a couple of years ago. It's more of the same. There's probably a need for about 2 or 3 gigawatts, which is 3,000 megawatts of fast reacting for that reason. It also does inertia, so it can provide a bit of stability to the grid system. The other problem with renewables is they are what I want to describe as asynchronous, so they shut off back to forth in a binary fashion, so there's no sort of flying of inertia, so the frequency on the grid is going out. So this is the other service it provides.
Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. Kate, would you like to respond to any issues that have been raised through the speaker's presentation? And I wonder if you can comment at all on Mr. Hawkins' assertions of the high pollution levels and Mr. Troop's assertions of the low pollution levels.
Thank you. I can advise you that the applicant did submit an air quality report as part of the application. And the council's environmental health services have had a look at the proposal, and they have concluded that there are no objections to raise with regard to air quality, subject to two conditions. One is that the flue stacks should be a minimum of 15 metres high, and the other is that there should be a written guarantee relating to the make and model of the gas engines.
Otherwise, they see no objection.
Thank you. Members. Councillor Booth. Microphone. Thank you. Looked at the sign. 15 metres or, to me, 50 foot. Is too much. It is a raised level outside. So putting 50 foot on top of it is, I think, not acceptable in the green belt. It appears to have a partial requirement, and that they need to be that tall for air quality. But the happening so that they could make them shorter. But I think we have before us a proposal, and we should vote on this proposal.
Thank you. Councillor Spencer Smith?
Yes, I'd like to flick it off this. I understand the officer's recommendations. I think it's a tasteful deferment. However, if environmental experts say it has to be 15 metres, I don't see how the fortune is at 7 metres is going to pass that barrier. However, I'd like to put a marker down. The number of houses that are going to come before this committee in the next 2 years, we may have to revisit the whole question of power provision.
Thank you. Councillor Henry.
Thank you. It seemed quite clear cut to me, Mr. Chairman. I don't see the need, or at least the current need, or the need in the near future is strong enough to warrant building a rebuild or very special circumstances. I think it's late. I'd like to move to support the officer's recommendations.
Thank you very much.
Happy to second that recommendation, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Would any other member like to make a contribution or shall we just make a vote? The recommendation is that planning permission be refused for the two reasons attached.
I just have one. The second, the officer redrew one. I was listening to the officer.
So I'll make no comment, Councillor Clark.
Just
be clear. Those against? Abstentions. Two abstentions. Thank you. That is refused. And that concludes the planning regulations. I would just like to ask Mr. Ellis if you'd like to comment on any of the planning reviews and if any members have any comments to make.
Thank you, Chairman. I just think something slightly interesting in the appeal decision you attached. And if Gerald Morris was here, he'd be delighted with that poor decision on the poultry farm in Barclay. But I would just draw your attention to paragraph 11 of the appeal decision, which says that the poultry farm in that case was 4.5 metres from all the boundaries. So this was a clear cut case. And some of the other ones we were debating, where it was more mild than 400 metres, was a bit was a different. But that's just an interesting decision there. And that's the exploit. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Ellis. Are there any other comments anybody would like to make? If not, I'll call the meeting.
Sorry, not on the appeals, but can I ask for the quality of the maps that we have sent out with these reports be looked at? Because the one power station one was fine. I actually knew where that one was, but yeah, because I know the area, it's better. But the maps do lack some sense of quality when you're trying to visit the area. There wasn't postcodes on at least two of them, which are the two maps I have the biggest problem with.
I'll ask the officers to take your comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
It's easy, which is probably why you have to take some time.